Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome back to True Crimes Podcasts. Tonight I have a returning guest, Nasir Ahmed, a holistic physician, writer, volunteer editor on the Meredith Kircher Justice websites. He also has a keen interest in the disappearance of Madeleine McCann, the three-year-old girl from the UK who disappeared while on holiday in Portugal on May 3, 2007 with her parents. The McCann case attracted the same worldwide attention as the Meredith Kircher murder case. Here today, he's going to discuss the eerie similarities between these two cases. Hi, Nasir.
Hello there, Liz. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, thank you for being on. So I just did your introduction, so I was going to just ask you, what attracted you to these two cases?
Hi. I've been a long-time resident of the UK in the past, and then I've been back there to visit friends many times, and I just happened to visit friends there in the UK. I also had a clinic, and in 2007, then I was there just after Madeleine McCann had disappeared. At the time, I was asked what I thought about the case and whether I believed she ever would be found. And I had one of these instant feelings of, well, I thought she had passed away, and that really was very sad because, of course, this is a three-year-old child who's on holiday with her parents. And it's very sad as a parent to think of that and to feel some sort of connection. But I also really, it was very strange because something really seemed off about the whole story, the way it was reported in the press. And that intrigued me, and I've been following it ever since. Of course, you can have your feelings, but events subsequently have turned out to be quite similar to what happened in the Meredith Kircher case. With Meredith Kircher, I was in the United Kingdom for a whole month in October, and I left on October 31st, and of course we now know that she was murdered the next day and found the day after. And that intrigued me, just the coincidences, and I've been very involved in both cases, more so perhaps with Meredith Kircher, but in following up and investigating just is my interest in psychology and spiritual matters. That's how I got involved.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. Yes, these two cases for two English girls just became huge stories in 2007. So you've been following both of them. And you discovered, you know, you have a list, you said about 12 different things that you feel are the eerie similarities between them. So we know already they're two British girls. One similarity, that's not one of the things you said, but just that was 2007 and two British girls. But the first one that you listed was for a similarity was discounted alibis.
Yes. There were all sorts of inconsistencies in the stories that were told by the parents, the McCann parents, and also in Amanda Knox and Raffaele Sollecito's case, their alibi, their stories didn't quite jibe with what witnesses said. And so there are some, like the timing, for example. They said in the McCann parents' case, they, as you know, went and they left their three children in their villa apartment. They went to dinner about 100 meters away, approximately 100 meters away, and they said they were checking in on them quite regularly, but waiters said, well, they didn't see them getting up and going that often as they claimed that they had. And somehow the timing of that also seemed wrong to the trained investigators, because investigators, as you know, they're really come to think, they look for inconsistencies in witness alibis and statements, because, of course, those who are closest to the victim always are suspected first.
Right. And they also said that they could see the window of their apartment from where they were having dinner, but that turned out not to be true, correct?
That's
another
so
inconsistency.
True. Yes. Again, it seemed like they were trying to excuse their behavior because, that if it were something that happened in the UK, then, people of lesser means and status than them are charged regularly with abandonment. It's like you have moms, single moms going off to the pub and leaving their children behind, and they get charged by Child Protection Services, but the McCanns never were investigated for child abandonment.
How about in the Meredith Kircher murder case? Do I give an example? I know there's many you could cover, but do you want to, for the alibis, one of the big ones? Maybe the telephone call, or they called the police after the postal police arrived was one.
That's true. Amanda Knox said that she had called from Raffaele Sollecito's apartment, but it actually was on her way home when she received the phone call from her boss, Patrick Lumumba, saying that he was not requiring her services that night. Amanda Knox really told a whole series of lies, which really got found out very quickly. The things about staying home all night at his apartment for the whole night when she was seen by eyewitnesses. And that's one of the things that I will would like to say about in the next while for tonight, about the eyewitnesses who saw both the both Amanda Knox and Raffaele Sollecito, but also who saw Jerry McCann carrying just the body of a child. Well, I mean, it's like they didn't know it was a body or what, just that it looked like a sleeping child. And there were two sightings, actually, of someone carrying a child who fit the description of Jerry McCann.
Right. And this actually leads to number two for you, which is they were both caught lying.
Yes, right. Because the McCanns were, first of all, they were lying about the times. They were lying about the times that they went and checked on the children, and they and their friends, the so-called Tapas Nine, were really... their statements didn't match with actual eyewitness evidence. But aside from that, there's another example that they claimed that the window had been forced open, and that wasn't the case, because they said, well, the Madeline had been kidnapped through a window, but the investigators found no signs of forced entry. And of course, just the fact that they left the door wide open, unlocked, was also another key factor. And it was like they were trying to misdirect the investigation by saying that it had been done through the window. And in the same way, there was a staged burglary in the case of Amanda Knox and Sollecito, which really the investigators had a hard time accepting. and
right,
it
and that would be a third
be
one that they both had stage break-ins, right? That was a third one that you similarity.
Yes, there's quite a few actually. The stage break-ins, the other stories that far more with Amanda Knox than with the McCanns. But one thing that I just wanted to go back to was in the case of the McCanns. And that is, so then there was the, so just jumping forward a little bit, and that is to the eyewitness sightings. And Amanda Knox and Raffaele Silvestro were seen by Antonio Caratolo, the homeless man who saw them arguing at the basketball courts above the cottage that night when they had lied and said that they were home all night and they weren't. And Quinta Valley, who the shopkeeper who saw Amanda Knox appear in the next morning, and she denied that she'd been out that early. And in the case of Jerry McCann, then there were two sightings of a man carrying a child that night. And the more credible of those sightings actually had him walking towards the beach with a child in his arms. And it described Madeline and the electronic, they did one of those police drawings just an ID get an idea or an approximation of the person that the witness, Smith, he actually went, the Smith sighting is actually quite credible because it matched the drawing that he helped the artist do actually matched the father Wavo.
Yes. Okay, so then that's three. So now the fourth one is interesting, is inappropriate behavior. So in both cases, it seemed the, you know, the McCanns, the couple, and as well as Amanda and Raphael, behaved inappropriately.
The McCanns really... you can't judge how a person would act in a situation like that, but it really seemed inappropriate. Amanda Knox's behavior, well, we've covered that at length, but the McCanns, what they did was they really didn't act like someone whose child had been kidnapped. They went jogging the next day. The father played tennis. They weren't out searching. They were hanging around. And in the end, not cooperating with the police. As soon as they became investigated suspects, then they climbed up and refused to cooperate. And the friends just wouldn't cooperate with the police. They didn't make statements, but then after that, everything was done through the police in the United Kingdom, and that's why there was a great deal of political interference, which is another of my points.
Right. So, and just about the inappropriate behavior, particularly Amanda and Raphael kissing outside of the cottage and acting inappropriately at the police station, claiming, you know, she claimed that she found the body to friends on the phone and other things that she said. All right. So the next one
they were smiling on camera. It's like it was really odd the way, and we're talking about the McCanns now, that there are quite a few photographs of them so shortly after Madeline went missing, and they were smiling, or, you know, if I'm a parent, and if my child were kidnapped, I don't think I'd ever smile ever, but there they were, quite a few smiles, which was very odd at the time, and when the newspapers commented on it, and they got really told off.
Right, on both sides, both of them smiling. All right, DNA, the fifth one, DNA and forensic evidence pointing to the suspects in both cases.
Right, and that also is another point about how no matter how much evidence was supplied, then it got discounted either by the police in the UK or by the McCanns themselves. And the same thing happened in the Amanda Knox case as well, because what it was like a miracle that Meredith Kircher's DNA was found on the murder knife. And in the case of Madeleine McCann, then there's first of all, that DNA, her DNA was found in the trunk of a car which had been rented after she disappeared. And that was, like, very interesting. Now, of course, the specialists in the UK, they who were involved in the investigation said, well, it's low profile, it's a low copy number, that it's a mixed match. And there is scientific disagreement about how valid that match might be. But what was interesting was that it was the location of it that it should be found at all in the trunk of a car that the parents didn't even have at the time that Madeleine disappeared. And then it was the UK police who were called in, and there was a Yorkshire policeman who's one of the most well-known dog trainers for detecting cadaver, which is the scent that a decomposing body gives, and blood. And there were two dogs, Eddie and Keela, who are sensitive to blood and DNA. And it was that which convinced me, actually, that because these dogs alerted to blood found in the couch behind the in the McCann's apartment. So there was blood. But more than that, that they alerted to cadaver odor behind the couch. So Madeleine had actually died in the apartment. Now, dogs can't testify, but there you go. These are very highly trained dogs. I mean, it was Eddie, the dog who detects both blood and cadaver, really alerted to a key which had been used in that car. And so somehow that scent was transferred from whoever carried Madeleine's body, or, and I'm assuming, of course, that's an assumption, but it just was more than circumstantial that the dogs detected blood and cadaver in the trunk of the car. And that is more than just a coincidence, which the McCanns discounted. They said, well, the mom is a doctor and she handles bodies. Well, no, that isn't a credible statement.
No, not on vacation. Okay, so number six, experts backtracking.
The FSS, which was the police laboratory that developed low copy number DNA testing, they were in the midst of a funding crisis, and they were shut down shortly afterwards, and they backtracked a bit on whether it was a match or not. For Madeleine, they started saying, well, we're not sure, and which is fine. It's within their rights to say so, that it's not conclusive evidence. Of course, all DNA evidence is inconclusive unless it is a perfect match. It doesn't have any other DNA, but really the DNA swabs that they found, they only found one complete profile, and that was Madeleine McCann's. And there were other random bits, but that doesn't qualify as a match. There were 15 out of 19 LLs found belonging to Madeleine. They said, oh, it matches others, but having studied that a bit, I know that they were backtracking a bit.
Right, and the same thing happened with the Meredith Kircher case with the knife and the low copy number of her cells on there. So, right.
Yes.
That's the,
It's something that judges decide in the end, not. But there was a great deal of political interference, both in Italy and in England, from the governments to put pressure on the Portuguese.
Right, that's number seven, political interference. Yeah, number seven, political interference in both cases.
Right. They the Prime Minister's spin doctor, Clarence Mitchell, was invited to help them out, and he really interfered very badly in them. In that case, the McCanns are very strongly, very closely connected with the political powers in the UK, and they had to have the Prime Minister's office and Rupert Murdoch's papers interfere in the whole process was very shocking to see. They put pressure on the Portuguese not to investigate the McCanns too closely. And, of course, we know about political interference from the United States in the, on behalf of Amanda Knox.
Right, right. Okay, number 8, expensive PR.
Oh, yes. That's something that that really drives those of us who volunteered on the case. Because, you see, on the one hand, you have media organizations, and Clarence Mitchell and the others, they just... the McCanns hired a PR spin group called Controlled Outcomes, I think, and it was very interesting. In the end, it came out that the McCanns spent about £2 million, approximately. I mean, it's between £1 and £2 million, which is like $3 and $4 million dollars, and which was spent on PR. But of course, they collected a lot in donations, so it became quite a interesting situation.
Right, and with the... sorry, go ahead. With the Amanda Knox case, the Meredith Kircher case, Amanda Knox hired Gogarty Marriott. And the same thing, they got donations as well, her and Raphael.
Yes, and also made a lot of money selling books.
Right, right. So that's actually the next two, which is number 9, collecting donations. They both collected, I guess, millions in donations. I'm not really sure the exact numbers.
Ah. Well, the McCanns certainly, they, you know, a little child, very photogenic, and a lot of celebrities. It just got promoted so much by the media that a lot of celebrities came on. I mean, it's believed that they collected about £4 to £5 million in donations from celebrities like J.K. Rowling and the others, David Beckham. And in the end, it all was wasted because the investigations went nowhere, and it seemed like the investigators were at times trying to... hide the evidence as opposed to find it. Nothing ever came of the monies they collected, of course, because we have never... These two are cases that possibly... it's really very sad to see the amount of PR that was done in both cases.
Mm-hmm. And the subsequent donations that they made. And now, right now, the number 10, they both wrote books. They all wrote books, right?
Yes. And they had huge, they had very large advances as well, and did quite well selling books. But when you read the books, and I have, then you see how much of that is self-serving and meant to excuse their behavior. It's always someone else's fault, and that's what they did. They attacked the investigators.
Right, the police and prosecutors, I guess, in both cases, they attacked.
In both cases, yes.
Claim corruption. The police are corrupt, they claim, right?
Yes. You know, just one thing. You know, every child who goes missing, of course, they're all important and valuable. Yet it was felt. There was a child who disappeared in the Greek islands, Ben Needham, many years prior, and then her mother said that the police actually put so much more resources in finding Madeleine McCann than they did in finding her child. Now, at least we have no evidence that her child is dead, so hopefully it was just a kidnap. And I mean, it's sad to say, but at least there's no evidence he died, but there really is a lot of evidence that Madeleine McCann did die in in that flat, 5A.
Yes. Okay, number 11, I think we sort of touched on demonization of the prosecution and the investigators. Now, I know Amanda Knox's group, PR, really went after Menini, and they still do today, attack prosecutor Menini and the police investigators. Was there a particular prosecutor that was attacked in the McCann case?
It was the police superintendent in charge of the investigation, Giancarlo Amaral. And what happened was that they dug up stuff like, they said he'd been charged with going and beating up a woman who had been found guilty of murdering her child. And but it wasn't true here. But they just threw it to really sully his reputation. And he wrote a book that Maddie, The Truth of the Lie, and they sued him because even though he used information that had been released officially by the police, that was they sued him, and the trial court, even though the Portuguese appeal court said that he had a right to express his opinion, then the trial court then awarded him 500,000 euros in damages against him, to and the McCanns really closed down his assets and prevented him from even defending himself. So it was good to see that many people felt that was unfair and did some very important fundraising to help him defend himself. So he is now in the appeals court in Portugal and seeking to have those damages overturned.
Wow. So, but his book is out. I guess, is it in English or is it just in Portuguese?
That's the thing. It's actually available from many websites on the internet. It was just like in the another similarity between the Meredith Kircher and Madeleine McCann cases, how a dedicated group of volunteers, and again, I wish to stress that I'm just one of them, and they came together to translate all the official files. The Portuguese released all the documents pertaining to the case, and they have been largely transferred by a group of volunteers in Portugal and the United Kingdom, as were the Italian files in the case of Meredith Kircher.
Yes, that could actually be another one, in that there is so many difficulties with the language barriers in both cases.
That language barrier allowed the spin doctors on both sides to misrepresent the case, and the media, of course, didn't help because they didn't report it properly. Most of them had their own language barriers. They had to rely on translators, and they really presented a different version than what actually came out in court.
Right. So it was easy to spin the story when you couldn't hear what the prosecutor had to say, really, or
yes,
what was really going on.
It was fundamentally unfair.
Yes. Now, I don't know if we covered this already, but the 12th one you had was witness sighting. That we covered that already, right?
I think we covered that. But really, there were all these similarities, but they really boiled down to the new style of PR management for murderers or accused people to hire a spin doctor right away to get the media to get on your side and to misrepresent your case. And it's very unfortunate. And that's something that, of course, drives those of us who feel for justice.
Right, yes, because you can't even get an honest interview with these people. It's like whoever interviews them has to go through their PR people and be approved, et cetera, with their questions, right?
Yeah.
So the public is not getting the information.
Yes, that's so true. I sort of It's like one of those mysteries. We never will have definitive proof of that O.J. Simpson killed Nicole Brown and Ron Goodman. We never will have definitive proof, even though Supreme Court has ruled that Amanda Knox has is innocent, or rather has been acquitted. Then they also said that, well, Rudy Gidey was not the only person in that apartment, and
they say Amanda was in the cottage washing blood off her hands, but that they can't prove she was in the room where the actual murder took place.
Well, so that's speculative. Yeah. They were trying to cover both sides. They're trying to say, okay, well, maybe the trial judge and the appeals judge feels that way, but we aren't sure. And it really, well, they were just covering up. And that sort of corruption went all the way to the top. But I think the main thing is that it becomes unsolvable if you discount every piece of evidence, even circumstantial evidence, and then and when you have forensic evidence and you discount that as well, and you go out of your way to discount it, I think that justice is not served.
Right. So that's the last question. So you don't really think that any of these cases will be resolved, the McCann or the Meredith Kircher murder? There'll be no definitive answers.
Sadly, I think that is the case, because reopening the case, you can't reopen the case. I mean, the Scotland Yard has indicated that they are, after £10 million spent in investigating the case, they don't believe that they are any closer to a solution with Madeleine McCann. And the Italians have, of course, given up on that. And so there will be no further investigation, of course, barring a last-minute confession by someone. I doubt that we will ever get the truth. But at the same time, those of us who have presented the case to the public will at least be happy to know that they might have gotten away legally with their crimes, but they would not. In the eyes of the public, both the McCanns are guilty of negligence, and something happened to Madeleine that caused her to die in that apartment. And in the case of Meredith Kircher, most people believe that Amanda Knox and Raffaele Sollecito are also guilty of murder.
Yes. All right, well, we've run out of time. So, Nasir, thank you again for being on True Crimes Podcast.
Thank you for having me, Liz.
Okay, have a good night.
Thanks.
Bye.